Simon Facial. Pray for me. I'm very, very tired. I've been working some very long hours, and my mind may be a little bit scattered, so pray for me this morning. I had a thought, and now I can't find it, so I might not. Oh, okay. 2 Timothy, I was right. I don't know why. I couldn't see it just a minute ago. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm going to teach this. I'm going to read this morning. It's just kind of a way to strike some of this other stuff and put some things into perspective. First, to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1. We'll begin our reading. This know also that in the last times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. You know, the Bible says covetousness is as the sin of idolatry. There's no difference between those two, and the Lord admonishes us, you know, if there's one thing that gets God upset when His people get into idolatry. We know the nation of Israel did that. They had more than one God. But they always fell back on Jehovah when things got rough. And I think oftentimes we can do that. We'll get where we say that we're trusting God and everything, but the truth is, it's just like this thing right here. I pull out of my pocket. It says on there, it says, "In God we trust." And this is what they're trusting. This is the God that so many people are trusting today, is their finances. But we know what the Bible says. Boy, riches can take the wings of the eagle. It'll be flew off and, right when you least expect it, it can go. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. You say, man, I'm worth $1 million. I got a million. I'm set. You know how long it take for $1 million to get gone? Hey, just one sickness, one illness, huh? Take everything you got. And so put no trust in riches at all, because I ain't saying don't work, don't try to save, don't try to, you know, put away for a rainy day, but don't trust it, because it'll get gone. Put your trust in God alone. And remember this, whatever you got in a bank or in your pocket, it's not yours, it's God's. It all belongs to Him. And let Him direct you on what to do with it. Amen. If you got $1 million, He says, give it away, give it away. I'm serious. You're better off following Him than you are trying to trust in your bank account or job or health or whatever. But covetous boasters, man, that has hurt so many churches. That thing of boasting. It's like, man, if you ain't careful, church will get proud in, you know, what they're doing. They'll lift up a preacher, boast on him. Oh man, this is a real man of God. Hey, look, he's a man. I don't care. You get to boast on him, God will kick the chair out from under him. Hang him. Don't do that. Praise God alone. Pray for him. Encourage the man of God. But don't puff him up. Don't go up there and tell him, oh man, how great a preacher he is. He's got nothing. Don't you understand? He don't have nothing to say. He either comes from God or he's got nothing. All of us. What do we have that wasn't given to us? Huh? Just always remember that. But boasters, proud. And that's why they boast, because they're proud. And boy, there's nothing more unstable than pride. Blasphemers. You say, well, that's something I wouldn't ever do. Check your language. You might be surprised what blasphemy is. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. You know, I love to see these signs down here, you know, about thanking Jesus. If you're going to put one of those signs up, make sure that you're thankful, because you know what you're doing if you're not? Yes, you are. And you're calling on His name in vain. It's blasphemous. If it ain't real, that's blasphemy. Unthankful. Unholy. And you know that word holiness simply means you're set apart. You're not your own. You've been set apart. You're a vessel. I'm a vessel for God to use. Hey, if you're not setting yourself apart for God to use, don't consider holiness as part of your repertory. If you're doing your own thing, and doing if we're doing our own things, then we're not holy. He said, well, I don't lie, I don't cuss, I don't chew, I don't hang out with them that do. That don't make you holy. I tell you what, it makes you legalistic. Self-righteous. But it won't make you holy. The only thing that makes you holy is the holy God inside of you that you've set yourself apart to let Him use. Unholy. Without natural affection. I never seen the like of that today. And, you know, used to hear that back when I was young. I'd hear preachers get up and say, yes, that's homosexuality. No, it's not. That's not homosexuality. Without natural affection. I'll give you an example. An animal would take care of its young unless there's something wrong with it. You know? That's natural. That's a natural affection. But you make a little kitty cry. See what that mama does. You get in between an old heifer and her little old calf, and you'll find that's natural affection. But we got people today that don't have that. You see them? I mean, they eat up their families like they're nothing. Their children, they put themselves before their children all the time. You see it. That's the reason why, you know, we got so many children being raised by single parents. That's the reason why you're seeing so many grandparents raising children. That's the reason why you're seeing so many, you know, children in group homes and things like that. That's the reason why you're seeing abortion the way you do. Or you hear of somebody that found a baby in a trash can. Now, how did somebody drop a baby in a trash can? Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. You know what fierce is? That's vicious without fear. That's what fierce is. But there's people out there, he's out there, I mean, you know, you got gang members, stuff out there, they're taught to be fierce. They don't start out that way. That's something you learn. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Oh, you think you better than everybody else. You a goody-goody. I heard that back in school, didn't y'all? Huh? People trying to do what's right and, you know, and you're a goody-goody. If you like I was growing up, you know, wild as a deer in the woods, God get a hold of you and you come to God, then everybody wants to call you a fanatic and, you know, turn on you. People, even church members. My own mama was praying for me to get saved, and after I did get saved, she was trying to calm me down a little bit. And I said, throw some gas on the fire. Have me burn, you know. And it says, traitors, heady. I was thinking about that word traitor. What does that mean? To be a traitor. Supposed to be on one side, right?
Yeah. Turn against
your own people. Yeah. Well, what about somebody that's living like this on Sunday?
They're a traitor.
And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you get up with the guys and you don't want them to make fun of you, and you just kind of fall in line. Or you won't open up your mouth when God says witness. Okay. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want you to take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Do a lot of reading. I'm not doing a whole lot of teaching this morning, but I'm doing a lot of reading, just looking at some verses. In Isaiah 49, well, I want you to see, I want you to really, I hope y'all can see what, when I was reading this the other day, how it just really just popped out of me. I hope y'all can see that. It showed me more the power of a witness and of the Word of God within the witness. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. You know, the Lord has always known us. He knew us from the foundation of the world. He said, oh, you're a Calvinist. No. I'm not a Calvinist, I'm a Bible believer. That's what the Bible says. We were saved from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ died for our sins. You said, well, you know, you weren't saved. In God's eyes we were. He knew us. We just didn't know Him. You know, He knows everybody's going to be saved. Witnessing ain't always about getting people saved. It's just being responsible for what God, the duty that God has given us. It used to really bother me if I'd go out visiting, you know, and didn't have a profession. I felt like, you know, I had to get a profession out of somebody. Be faithful is what you want. You're the one that's supposed to be making a profession. You're telling people what Jesus Christ means to you. You're being a witness of what God has done for you. And remember who the Savior is. It's the Lord. He addeth to the church daily such as should be saved. There's no wiles unto me, and hearken you people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. And in his quiver hath he hid me. Amen. That's what our children are to be. We're to take this word of God and hone up our family by the word of God. That they're a polished shaft because they've been called from the womb. If they're saved, they've been called from the womb. God has known them. And we need to teach the Word of God diligently that we will have family that's holy, set apart for God's use. He says, a polished shaft in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. You ever felt like that? Yeah, man, there's been times I go out and I visit and I pray and I visit and I ask God for the words to say and lead me to the people and I talk and you know, and it's like it's falling on brass. And many times I said, God, and I said, what's the use? I've heard Bible teachers say that to me at times. They get in there and they say, you feel like you lay, sometimes like you labor in vain. You put the word of God out there and you, it's like it doesn't have any effect. Like it's just water off ducks' backs. It's just rolling off of people and they're not taking it in. That's what he was saying. He's saying, these children of Israel, they ain't listening to nothing I got to say. I said, they'd like to kill me. They'd like to shut me up. They said unto him, preach unto us smooth things. Don't give us what God, that thus saith the Lord. Give us, tell us that God says everything's all right. Tell us it's God that says everything's all right. Console our hearts in our disobedience. Teach us in such a way that our disobedience seems all right, as though we're being obedient. And he says, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord. This is what Isaiah had to say. But I'm going to tell you something. He's more than just speaking for Isaiah. If you look at that chapter, it ain't just Isaiah that's saying that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is speaking this out as well. Look at his ministry. I've heard it said by people, you know what I mean, that if you have everything right and all your I's dotted right and all your T's crossed, but you'll have how to have a profitable ministry, how to have souls, how to do this and how to do that. Jesus Christ, there's nobody could ever compare to his teaching, to his preaching, and to the life he walked before people. And when he got done, who was with him? Nobody but the women. I really think that's one of the reasons why the women got to see him first. Because everybody else took off, except for the women. Pretty bad when women are leading the men. It ain't meant to be that way, is it? We see it in a lot of churches, though, don't we? Praise God, it had never happened here, amen. But it could. We don't stand up and do what we're supposed to. But look here, he says, I've labored in vain. He said, then said the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Through Israel, be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. My God shall be my strength. And he said, the Lord, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant. You understand what he's saying there? He wants to see results. God said, isn't it enough that you're doing what I want you to do? Huh? isn't it enough? He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. Then he says this, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. You feel like you've labored in vain because so few of the people are coming. He said, I tell you what, I'll give you the Gentiles too. I mean, look at the Lord. Did they accept him? No, they rejected him. As a nation, they rejected the Lord. He said, well, I'll give you the Gentiles too. This is an amazing statement. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the publicans, that's the sinners, the big sinners, you know? You know, the long hairs and the dope heads and the, you know, the wild partiers and those who kept company with the prostitutes, the harlots. He said, they enter into the kingdom before you. Amazing thing. Jesus said that. You know why? You ever think about that? Why he said that? Exactly right. They knew what they were. And if we ain't careful, you know, the thing of it is about being involved in church and stuff like that, if you ain't careful, if you're not careful, you forget what you really are. Then you're not very profitable. When you get to that point, you're not going to be very profitable. I tell you why, because you won't have compassion on what's out there. But when you can go out there and walk up to a fella and you can tell, you know, he's living for whatever he can get out of the moment, and you walk up there to him and you're able to put yourself up there as his friend, I'm glad to meet you. And mean it. And know that God recovered you, and there's no difference really between you and him except for Jesus, what Jesus Christ has done to you, for you, and now wanting to do through you. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation. That's really why I say, this is not just talking about Isaiah. He's going to use the words and the prophecy of Isaiah to be a light and a salvation to the world. But who is the one? Who is the light? Who is the word? It's Jesus Christ. So we know that that's speaking prophetically that of the Savior. He said, I'm going to let you be a light and proclaim it. He didn't understand it. But the Lord just come on and said, I'm going to give you a kick, something to think about, okay? Huh? You saying that hard-headed crowd ain't listening to you? Well, remember Elijah, he said, he was out there, buddy, and after he had been working so hard, and I'm not throwing down, don't you ever say it, I'm making speaking light of Elijah because he's up and in that, you know, mully grub, like I've had a lot of them say, under the old, you know, well, what kind of tree was under? Mulberry tree? Sucking on his thumb. I mean, he's just been in a fight. Now the ringleader of all that crowd said, okay, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make sure I kill you. And she normally got the job done when she wanted to do. And, you know, he said, well, I'm getting out of here. He took off. He was out there. And what did he say? He wanted to die. So it wasn't the thing of death that he was so worried about. He just didn't want her to kill him. He went up there and he said, "Let me die. Take me out of here, God." He said, Then the Lord took him to that place, and this is what we are to get. If we can get this kind of mind, instead of sitting there, "Get up, Mary, you're sorry. What's wrong with you? You quitter? Get up from there. You a child of God. Throw your shoulders back." Huh? No, that ain't what God did. God said, "He's tired. He's been in the battle. He's flesh." He said, "Lay down and take a nap. Get you some rest. Come along, send an angel there, made a fire, cooked him up some bread." He said, "Eat of this bread, drink of this cruise. Now lay down and take a sleep." Twice. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to be like. I want to be an encourager of those that kind of fell down, gotten tired. I want to be. I ain't saying I am, but that's the way I want to be. And then, Elijah, he's kind of like that. He's kind of, you know, "I'm the only one. Nobody's listening. Nobody will pay attention. I'm doing no good." Elijah said, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only prophet left out here." The Lord said, "No, not so. I've saved, how many was it? But 40,000. They have not bended their knee to Baal. Huh?" He said, "You're wrong, Elijah. And you're doing a whole lot more than you realize. You're accomplishing. You're doing my work. Is it a light thing unto you?" There's going to be times of discouragement and everything, but I want to encourage you to say, "God, if you're doing God's will, God's work, and you're surrendered, don't get discouraged. For it's God's work." I mean, you look at old Jeremiah. I mean, I would hate to have been a Jeremiah, but God says, "You're doing my work." I mean, he preached all that time. They throw him in the pit. They tried to kill him. They do this. They do that. But as a reward for him for what he went through. Nobody would listen to him. The king wouldn't listen to him. The people wouldn't listen. They come to him and said, Jeremiah, talk to the Lord. We're going down to Egypt to try to get away from this. Talk to the Lord and see if that's what we ought to do." And the Lord said, "No, don't go down to Egypt. Stay right here and I'll defend you." He said, "But if you go down to Egypt," he said, "that what you're running from is going to find you down there." And what did they do? They said, "I don't believe you." Guess who it was they really didn't believe? It wasn't Jeremiah. It was God they didn't believe. They didn't believe God's promises from the beginning. He told them if they would be obedient, he would protect them. Did he not? From the very beginning. What is it we're told today? What is what we're told? Exactly the same thing. He came to his own, received him not, but to as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. I come into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. He said, this is condemnation, that God has sent light in the world and men love darkness rather than light. He that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. But he that believeth the Son, hath everlasting life. It's a matter of, do we believe him? Do we believe him when he tells us we're to be witnesses? Do we believe him when he commissions us? Do we believe him when he says that we are the called? Do we believe him when he says we've been set forth? Do we believe him? Do we believe him in mind only? Is that far as it goes? Thus saith the Lord, Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. He said, yeah, they hate me. Yeah, they despise me. I'm doing my work. You be my servant. They might fall upon you. They may gnash upon you. But your work is not in vain. He felt like it was. But God said, no, it's not. I know them that are mine. And I'm going to get every last one of them. There ain't going to be one soul in hell that could be saved. Not one. There's no empty places at that judgment seat, at that great supper. You ain't going to find no empty seats. God's going to reach every last one. Every person that will be, will be. Any soul that will be willing will be there. He's going to reach them. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. We can believe that God will. Not in our strength, His strength. He is able. You might feel like sometimes, what's the use? God said, hey, you're being obedient. Is it a light thing to be my servant? Man alive. Heard a song. The great adventure. Is there anything greater that a man could do than to walk with the Creator of the universe and to do His will? What's going to compare to that? What's going to compare to that? Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be going verse by verse by the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read the first chapter very slowly. And then next week we're going to be looking over it verse by verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Everything's falling apart. He said, peace. World's in chaos. He said, peace. When the storm's raging, he put us right there in the eye. He can put us right there in the eye of the storm. Peace. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. And peace from God our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the Psalms it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. And people cry upon God all the time. God bless America. And I say it's time for Americans to bless Him. Make the police Him. He's did so much for me. I wonder how pleased He is with me. How blessed is God with my life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. Now, I understand the word all doesn't always mean all. But here it means all. Not part of spiritual blessings, but all spiritual blessings. There's nothing he's kept back. Hey, if he gave us his son, what do you think he's going to get back? If he gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins, the shed of blood, what in the world would he ever keep back from us? You know, so much of the church lives like paupers as far as in spiritual things. But it's all been given to us.
Amen.
You know, the fruits of the Spirit, they're all ours. You can have as much of it as you want. Just don't let your unbelief get in the way. You can have all of it you want. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, tenderness, meekness, faith, all those things. All spiritual blessings. Read on. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. When? When? In him. According to God's foreknowledge, he sees us in him. As a body. I've heard some say, well, not as an individual. Ain't it amazing? God can see the body of Christ, but he can't see the people that's in it. I cannot understand that. Blessed be the God and Father who blessed us with all heavenly blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. He wouldn't have chose us in ourselves. He chose us in him. That's the reason why Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It was already decided before Adam and Eve. Did God, if God didn't know they were going to eat of the fruit, he wouldn't put it out in the midst of the garden. Knew what they were going to do. When I was a young person, I didn't like that. And God, I don't like that. I don't, why did you do that? Why did you make the stinking devil? You knew he was going to rebel when you made him. And God still loves him, by the way. Don't mean judgment ain't coming on him. God's love is not conditional. If it was, we wouldn't be loved very much. I've heard a lot of preachers rail on, you know, the wicked. You don't hear that much from God. All he does is call out their judgment. What's going to happen to them? Then he tells us to go out and preach to them. And such were some of you, but you've been washed. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Jesus, you know. We're accepted in him. In whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Get some understanding. That says right here, in all wisdom and prudence, that's prudence, that's understanding. We have forgiveness of sins. Why? Because they've been paid for. Jesus Christ carried them all down into hell and left them there. Paid the full penalty. And I don't know all that construes, but I tell you what. It wasn't a whipping post and the cross that took care of them sins. It's when God poured His wrath out upon His Son for sins. And the Bible said, and it pleased God to bruise Him. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And I don't know all about that predestination stuff. All I know is we have a predetermined destination, which is to be made in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what all that entails, I ain't got a clue. It's too high for me. I just know it's so. I'm glad of it. If it wasn't predetermined, I could never be sure if I'm going to go or not. I might mess up along the way and say, you got to get out, boy. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, in making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He didn't say you necessarily have it, but it's available. It's yours. But you know what? We gotta want it. We gotta hunger and thirst after it. We gotta study for it. We gotta pray for it. We gotta yield for it. Because I'm gonna tell you something, you're not gonna get anything no further than you yield to God. Sometimes I tell God, I said, don't tell me nothing else, because I'm not doing all that I know now. I'm afraid. I'm going to give an account of how well I obey what God has given me. That out of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the blessed hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. I want y'all this week to really consider this last verse. Which is His body, the fullness of Him. Are we the fullness of Christ in this world? He said that we are. We're the fullness of Christ to this world. In Him that filleth all in all. Hey people, let's go forth this week and fill the world with His doctrine. Let's go forth this week. Fill this world with His love, His peace, His joy. Let's let God use us as His body and fill this world around us with Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Paul, would you pray for us this morning?